Why do you think that we would have to ask God not to lead us into temptation? Don't you think God would be the one that would keep us away from temptation? It seems kind of strange that God would lead us into temptation. Let me ask you this question. Don't raise your hand. How many of you were tempted this week? I saw some hands that were just about ready to go up. Probably all of us, in some way, some shape or some form, we were tempted in some way, somehow. And you know, it is God that will lead us into temptation for a purpose. Do you know there's a purpose in every temptation? Realize that the next time you are being tempted, understand there's a purpose in this. There's a purpose. Matthew 4:1 says, "And Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." Mark chapter 1, verse 12 says, immediately the Spirit, this is talking about the same story, the same time. It says, immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. How many feel like, you know what, I was pushed in here. I was driven into this temptation. Why would God do that? I think there's several reasons. Obviously, I believe he does it to test us, to see who we're going to give allegiance to see who we're going to worship, to see if we have passed that test yet before we go on to another. How many feel some at times you're in a dry place and you're all alone? God has driven you into a lonely place out in the desert. There's nothing to eat there. I've heard this so many times from people, you know, from this church, from other churches, well, you know, I'm just not getting fed there. Well, maybe you're in a place of temptation and testing, and there's nothing there for you to eat at the moment. What are you going to do? Well, I'm going to stop supporting that church, and I'm going to go somewhere else, and I'm going to do whatever. You're going to fail the test. It's hard. You want to make sure you're in the place where God puts you. Even if it's in the desert, in the lonely place, and you're starving, you're there for a reason. You're going to find out who you are in that place of tempting. And you know what? I'm curious also if another reason why God puts us into, drives us into temptation is in order for us to realize, you know what? I really need God every moment of every day. Because how many times have we gone into that temptation situation knowing it was, you know what, I'm in a place of temptation, knowing that that's the case, and yet you still failed? Huh? Time and time again, we'll find ourselves in a situation of temptation, and we know that we're being tempted, but yet we'll still fail. And I'm curious if God does that, puts us in that position, allows us to fail in order that we can stay humble, realizing our need for him. I'm curious about that. And so understand, if you are being tempted, there's a purpose and a plan in it. God wants to do something awesome. He wants to show you something awesome, but he wants to know, what are you made of today? You may have passed the test yesterday, but what about today? You know, when it comes to temptation, each of us, I talk about sin nature a lot. Each of us have a different type of sin nature. For some, you know, it can be whatever. What tempts you might not tempt me. What tempts me might not tempt you. Satan knows. He'll work on you. He'll try this on you. Oh, that didn't do nothing. Well, try this on you. Oh, that didn't. But he'll try this on you. Oh, there's a place of weakness right there. And he'll pounce on you every time in that place. You might pass the test today, and tomorrow he'll be right back, knowing that that is the part of your sin nature that he can exploit. By the way, is anybody helping Judy downstairs? Okay. (Clears throat) There's a verse that goes along with this, I believe. It's in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour." I've preached on this. You've all heard messages on this. But for some reason, I believe it's important we talk about it again today. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Maybe it's because of the most recent things that have taken place in our government, in our courts. Maybe it's because of the cultural shifts that America seems to be taking that are away from God. That God is calling the church to be sober, to be vigilant. Remember that there is a devil out there who roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, first of all, be sober. What does be sober mean? Well, somebody who loses their sobriety is somebody who overindulges in something they shouldn't overindulge in. And it's really interesting. We're told here to be sober. In other words, do not lose your sobriety. Stay on guard. Because if you overindulge in something other than Jesus Christ, chances are you're going to be led astray. Be sober. Be vigilant. Someone who is not sober is someone who overindulges in something that makes it sinful. There can be good things in life, but it becomes sinful when you overindulge. I'll give you some examples. Alcohol. How many know somebody says, "Oh, you can drink alcohol. The Bible doesn't exclude alcohol." But if you overindulge, it becomes sin. You're no longer sober. Sex. I know I got some young people here today. I'll keep it appropriate. But sex outside of one man and one woman in the confines of marriage is biblically forbidden. You've overindulged and you are no longer sober if you go outside of those lines. Language. Language is a good thing. Until you start gossiping. Now you're not sober anymore. You've crossed the line. You're overindulging. Or perhaps language can be a good thing, but how many know there's words out there that we don't want to hear, right? You get in a conversation with somebody and it's like, you know what, I'm done talking with you. You're not sober. Money. Money can be a good thing. Until you overindulge and get greedy, you're no longer sober. Anything that we indulge in that keeps our focus off God and His will for our lives is biblically forbidden. The Bible says to be sober. Kids, too much TV and too much video gaming. It may be fun, it may be good in moderation, but too much of that stuff, and it's overindulgent, and it's sin. You lose out on your education, and when you should be doing your homework, you're playing a video game. That's not a good thing. Be sober, whatever you're doing. It can be anything. There's all kinds of things in our life that are good until we overindulge, and then you're no longer sober. Be vigilant. Be vigilant basically means pay attention to what you're doing and don't let your guard down. You know, in Celebrate Recovery, we're always talking about self-examination. Examine yourself. Be vigilant. Know what's going on in your life. Know what's going on in your mind, in your heart, and around you. Guard your heart. Be vigilant about it. Don't lay your shield of faith down and stand there while there's darts flying at you. Be vigilant. It says that the devil, am I ahead of my notes? I am. It says that the devil is seeking whom he may devour. Now see what that says there? He can't devour just anyone. You know that? But he roams around seeking who he may devour. Those that are sober and vigilant are safe. That's what this verse is saying. Be sober and be vigilant. Why? Because you'll be safe from this lion who's wandering around. But those who are not sober, those who are not vigilant, those are the ones that he may devour. You know what? We can open ourselves up. Yes, we can. Believers in Jesus Christ, we can open ourselves up, put our guard down, overindulge, and become drunk in whatever. And Satan will be right there. Oh, there's one I can devour. If you're sober and you're vigilant, you don't have to worry about that. But if you stray from the fold, I've said this many times, just show up for the meeting. If you stray from the fold, you become a target. What's a lion do? He prowls around and he watches, and once one gets off on its own, there's one I can devour. You think church attendance isn't important? I think it's very important. Stay with the herd. Amen. Because guess what? The herd or the congregation, God's going to take them and he's going to lead them in this direction. And if you don't show up to the meeting, you're not going to know where they went. And the devil's going to come along and he's going to find you and he's going to devour you. Those who stray from the fold, those who overindulge and are not sober, those who have let their guard down and are not vigilant, those who think they can do life without God are in terrible trouble. You think you can do life without God, you're in terrible trouble. Because the devil is right there. There's one I can devour. Just like that lion, Satan will drag you off into his den, he will tear you apart, and he will consume you if you don't stay sober and vigilant. How many like the idea of Satan, like that lion, tearing you into his den, ripping you apart, and consuming you? I don't like that picture at all. I get in these debates online. I get in these conversations. And you know what? There was a short time where I thought, you know, okay, I'll try not to be offensive. I'll try not. And you know what? You know, there's places for that. But in today's America, in today's world, I think it's very important we stand up for what we believe. I think it's very important that we say, you know what, this is what the Bible says, this is what I believe. If you don't believe that, then I'm going to be praying for you. Well, you're not loving me because you're saying something opposite than what makes me feel good. I'm telling you what the Bible says. You got a problem, you don't have a problem with me, you got a problem with what the Bible says. And we need to be standing up for God's word. Jesus stood up for you and I, did he not? His truth is his truth. It didn't change. It doesn't change. And I run into people who are not sober. Somebody said to me the other day, you know, because we're getting this conversation. Oh, well, you know, you're supposed to love everybody. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't say a word to you. I'd let you die in your sin. But because I'm telling you the truth and you don't like the truth, you feel I hate you. You feel I don't love you. And the response back was, well, what did Jesus do and what did Jesus teach? Because Jesus hung out with sinners. Yes, he did hang out with sinners, but he called them to repentance. He hung out with tax collectors and drunkards and prostitutes and all those. And every single one of them, he called them to repentance. He didn't say, oh, here I am, believe in me, but just continue doing what you're doing. No. What did Jesus teach? It's found right here, Matthew 4:17. Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You and I were not in that courtroom at the Supreme Court when they made their ruling a couple weeks ago. But you know what? When I read my Bible in the Old Testament, my wife and I were reading a book and it talked about King Josiah, when he found the books of the law, and when he found out what was in the books of the law, he made everybody repent. Because he realized that they had strayed from God. They had strayed from his word. They had strayed from his will. When Jonah preached to Nineveh, everybody repented. They even made their animals fast. And so what I want to do in the last few moments of this service is I want to give a call, an altar call of repentance. Because the truth of it is perhaps we haven't been so sober. Perhaps we haven't been so vigilant. And maybe if we were more sober and more vigilant and more victorious in our walk with Christ, maybe the culture around us would take note and say, hey, those people are different. But unfortunately, many of us in the church look just like the world, so much so that they can't see the contrast, they can't see the difference. And so I want to have an altar call of repentance where and it might not be something of your own. Of course, if the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, you know, you've been tempted and you failed and you need strength of that, and you need to be able to conquer something in your life, great. Come to this altar and repent. Call upon God for a renewed mind, for transformation of your life, that you have victory over whatever it is, that you be sober, you be vigilant. But if that's not you today, then I'm going to ask you to come to this altar and pray for repentance of this nation. Because this nation is straying far from God. They have left their first love. They are no longer this nation. We like to think that we're founded on the principles of God. Well, you know what? It's kind of hard to see that if you walk down the street today. And so I believe the church, not just this particular physical congregation, but the church in America should be on our knees repenting for the sins of this land, calling on God to forgive us and to save us. Amen. And so that's what I want to do right now. And that's kind of I had all week long, ever since I finished the love languages, and I hope you're feeling the love in this message this morning. Ever since I finished the love languages, I've just been praying, God, what direction do you want us to go now? And as I see what's going on in the world around us, I think we're being called to repent. And so that's what I want to do today. That's what this message is about. And so if you would all just rise to your feet. If you're pure and holy and crystal as the glassy sea, God bless you. But if you're like me and the rest of us, and there's things in your life that need to be repented of, I'm going to ask you to join me and join those who gather here at this altar this morning, calling on the Lord for forgiveness of our sins, forgiveness for the sins of our nation, and ask God to show us the way,
Let his grace and mercy be poured out upon us and upon our nation, upon our world. So we're going to spend a few moments just in repentance this morning. To the river I am going, bringing sins I cannot bear. Come and cleanse me, come forgive me, Lord, I need to meet you there. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. In these waters, healing mercies flows with freedom from despair. I am going to the river, because Lord, I need to meet you there. Yes, precious Jesus, I am ready to surrender every care. Take lead me closer, Lord, I need to meet you there. Lord, as we get on our knees, we call upon your name for forgiveness of our sins and for the sins of our nation. We trust, oh God, that you will wash us white as snow. We trust, oh God, that you will pour out your Spirit into us as we humble ourselves before you. Precious Jesus, Lord, I am ready to surrender every care. Take my hand now and lead me closer. Lord, I need to meet you there. Lord, forgive this country and how it has forsaken you in so many ways. Father, I pray for the leaders in all the branches of government, local, state, nationally wide. Lord, that these would be men and women who would call upon you, who would trust you, who would make decisions based on your word and on your will. Lord, that they would renounce the foolishness of things that they have done that are against you and against your people, against your word. Lord, forgive us as a nation. Restore us, O God. Restore us to former places where we trusted you in everything. To the river I am going, bringing sins I cannot bear. Come and cleanse me, come forgive me, 'cause Lord, I need to meet you there. In these waters mercy flows with freedom from despair. So I am going to that river. Lord, I need to meet you there. And Lord, we cry out to our family members and our neighbors, those who live in our villages and cities and towns. We call out to them. We ask, oh God, that you speak to their hearts,
Let them receive the words we call them.
Won't you come and join us in the river? Come find life beyond compare. He is calling, he is waiting. Jesus longs to meet you there. Oh, precious Jesus, I am ready to surrender every care. Take my hand now, lead me closer, Lord. Take my hand now, lead me closer, Lord, I need to meet you there.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving us of our sin, cleansing us from within. The Bible says that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Anyone feel cleaner this morning? Now, before we go, I would like Troy and Karen, Garrett, and all the family members to stand front and center. We want to pray. Downstairs. All right, we're going to wait for all of your brothers and sisters that are here to come on up. Garrett is leaving tomorrow for where? Wait a minute. Hold on. Don't say. Tell us where you're going, brother.
I'm going to basic training on Oklahoma Fort Sill for 3 months. And after that, I'm going to be shipping to Arizona to do my AIT.
Amen.
For the New York National Guard.
What branch of the military are you going into?
The Army.
The Army. Hallelujah. Do we have any servicemen here? Men and women? People who served in the military? Mom and Dad, would it be all right if I asked them to come up and pray with him? You're a family member of a serviceman? I'm just going to give a moment for the children to come up. Hallelujah. The Lord has blessed us with this family. And we certainly want to be a blessing to this family. And that's why I've called you up here, that we can pray for you. We certainly want God to watch over you, to guide you, to lead you, give you strength and courage that goes beyond. Brother, you will be tested. We want to see God do something awesome and powerful in your life. Hallelujah. Family members, if you could all get a hand on them. Servicemen, join in, and women. The Lord, we lift up Garrett to you this moment. Lord, we are so blessed for this young man, his courage, his desire to serve this country, to go perhaps where no one's ever gone, to do perhaps what no one's ever done, but joining with forces, just like these men to stand here and pray with him who've been there before. They know what he's stepping into. They know where he's been, where he's going. Father, we pray an anointing and a protection upon him. Lord, that as he serves this country, that he will continually serve you,
that he will never forget your laws, in your will, in your way. That he will rely upon you for strength. He will rely upon you for courage and direction. Lord, as he goes to be trained to fight for this nation, I pray, God, that his heart will ever be protected, that he will fight for you. I pray, God, that in the ranks where he finds himself, that he will find other believers that believe as he does and puts their faith and trust in you, and they can band together and become a strong force. Not just in the army of man, but in the army of God. Provide for him his every need. Do not allow him, O God, to be wounded. Keep him from all injury and harm. But God, strengthen him. Build him up in character. Build him up in physical stature. Build him up, O God, in his mind, in his heart. That he will be victorious, Lord, in whatever it is that he's called upon to do. We as his family, O Lord, we put our trust in you. He is in your hands. When he leaves this region and he goes to be somewhere else where we cannot reach him any longer, we will trust you with his very life and his soul. Do a powerful work, O God. Change his life. And Lord, the next time we see him, may we just see marvelous works that you have done. Bless him and his family today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church. Thank you so much. We'll be back here tonight at 6 o'clock for Bible study. And on Wednesday night for Celebrate Recovery. Yes, Lou. You going to the eye doctor again? Dave, could you and Bill and Dan come up? Louie wants prayer for his eye. Anyone else like prayer? You would? Okay. Okay. You going where in Pennsylvania? Gettysburg. Oh. Bike week? Oh, God bless you. God bless Gettysburg. Father, I pray protection over all the riders, all the motorcyclers. Lord, you keep them safe. You watch over them. Just let them enjoy good weather, good fellowship. May their bikes not break down. Or may there be no mishap. But God, watch over them all. Watch over the community where they are going to fellowship and gather. And Lord, just show yourself strong in their midst, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray for Louis this morning as he ever trusts in you. Lord, he is one who continues to call upon your name and to trust in you. And so, Father, bless him. Bless his eyes, that the eye doctor would be amazed, oh God, at how well he can see, that the vision he has, Lord, that there be no illness, no weakness, no blurred vision, but God, just strength and sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And God bless each one who came out today. We thank you for your love for us, your grace. Amen. Amen. One last thing. There are some candy bars over there on the left. They're for sale to benefit young lady who's battling cancer. And so if you'd like a candy bar, I think everything's a dollar a piece. Just go ahead and be a part of that as well. Yes, Lloyd. Wow, the Philippines got 3 typhoons headed their way. Amen. Lord, bless the Philippines and all areas, God, that those storms, blow those storms back out to sea and let them do no harm. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Be blessed. Greet one another. Love one another. Forgive one another. And go sober and vigilant. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, church full of villages.